Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Sals and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, and we are 2 hours in. It's time to crank it up a notch because we're talking about the Kings, not the... I see you, Steven, on the chat, on the text line, 916. Guys, are we talking about the Kings or the Kangs? That's from Steven. That's right. That's right, Chris.
It's feeling like the Kings.
Because they're coming at you. CK916 on the YouTube chat. We were the 3 seed last year.
Yeah, last
year. We are
year.
Home tonight.
Yeah.
We are not playing the Celtics or the Nuggets. No moral victories. I say no.
Okay.
And I agree with CK.
Okay, because we can't feel bad unless we get a result.
No.
Okay. Or good.
Okay, but Chris. No, but Chris, hear me out.
Yeah.
What did that Warriors moral victory do for the Kings?
Nothing. For sure.
Nothing.
No, yeah, it didn't mean anything. I think it's more just for sanity at this point. I'm telling
well, that's
you.
Like fair.
It's more just for feeling good about the direction of things. Mm-hmm. Like I think that's also important. Again, like y'all need to meet me where I'm at. Like, you guys, mm-hmm. I feel like the Kings are not in a good place right now, and I feel like people are trying to and normally I might try and also massage it with it's early in the season. However, from watching these games, I have real concerns that are a lot deeper than just it's early in the season and there's some, like, they have looked bad. They have looked like they just met each other a week ago.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Not where the basement is, but would you say that based on what you've seen from the Kings, well, let me start here. What was your initial ceiling for the Kings? And I remember you talking about it. You said getting to the second round or winning the second round?
I think the absolute ceiling of this team is maybe reaching the conference finals, but I think that's in a perfect world where everything goes awesome.
As of today, at 12:03,
sure,
on Veterans Day, shout out to our veterans, thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Have you changed?
Has that ceiling, where the ceiling potential?
Yes, has the ceiling dropped?
No, because that's all De'Aaron Fox dependent. And it's very clear that this team is a different looking team when De'Aaron's out there. We haven't seen enough games with De'Aaron to see how high that potential is. But the fact that the rest of the guys are struggling so mightily without De'Aaron is still a bad sign, even when De'Aaron Fox comes back. Because last time I checked, De'Aaron Fox does not play 48 minutes a game. They're going to have to play. Yeah. And, of course, it makes it easier when the threat of him entering the game is still looming. And,
right. You know,
he still has his impact on the game even when he's off the floor. But it's the fact that they look so disjointed and, again, are not hitting shots and are not – we're talking about a team that was the best offense in NBA history last year and is now barely getting to 100 points per game. Like – or in the past, you know, since De'Aaron's been out. Like,
it's not good.
It's not good.
It's not good.
And I think everyone's trying to maybe mask it with, once De'Aaron comes back or it's early in the season. These are very, very real problems that have to get addressed. And if they don't get addressed, it's not a De'Aaron Fox deep problem. These are very, very deep rooted problems.
But that is why, when I'm not trying to sound disrespectful, that is why if somebody uses Linsanity or if somebody says a flash in the pan, you sat here and we talked earlier, a couple weeks ago or maybe last week, and I said flash in the pan is what the Kings did last season, repeatable. You said yes.
Yeah.
When I think about things that are disjointed, I think about the Warriors last year and the punch heard all around the world, and things were just off.
Yeah.
The Kings, and Deuce Mason said it himself, he did a nice blurb on NBC Sports Bay Area, and Whitey spoke about it as well. The Kings are doing everything they did last season. They're just not making shots.
Yeah.
So what if they just don't make shots this season? I don't know if something's wrong with the foundation. What if they just cooled off?
Then I have nothing as an analyst to,
no,
to
no,
give.
I know you're not.
Yeah. No, I just mean, if that's the case, there's nothing any of us could do. Like, they're just missing shots. It's like, you know, I talked about it last year when Zach Lowe would talk about the Kings' defense. Mm-hmm. He said that there's an element of they're just unlucky. Like, there's just sometimes teams hit tough shots against you, and normally that stuff would even out throughout an 82-game season, but sometimes it just – it doesn't. And you know, someone's got to be, you know – somebody has to have the highest percentage in the league against them. Yeah. And it, you know, I don't think it was the Kings last year, but sometimes you're just unlucky. And that would be one of those things where it's just, if you're drawing up a play and the play works perfectly, you get the shot you want, shot doesn't go in, there's nothing anybody can do about it except for actually make the shot. And that's just a completely random variable that nobody can really impact. Like, yeah. Kevin Huerter can put up 1,000 shots an hour. It's not going to mean that when he takes that one shot for that moment in the game, it's going to go in. You can just prepare yourself and put yourself in the situation to feel comfortable enough and confident enough to let that thing fly and feel like it's going to go in, but that doesn't mean it's going to.
Yeah, and I also think that confidence is a part of this. When you go up against a team that you know isn't great defensively, you're a bit more confident, yeah, right? And I think that's part of the kind of mind tricks that happen within sports in general. Going back to the offensive side of the basketball, what was it? It was offensive rating?
Yes, offensive rating was
in the history of the NBA.
Yes, yep.
Okay, now I'm going to go to our guy in New York, Arson Judge, Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge set the AL record for home runs, what was it, last season?
Yeah.
And the Giants, I would have gladly taken him. He was not a Bay Area guy, but a Giants fan, right? But we thought, if you don't take Aaron Judge, how about this? What are the chances he hits 60-plus home runs again next season?
Sure.
Very low.
Yeah.
Right? I just, the chances of that happening, he's a bigger guy, injury. And guess what? He didn't.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the Kings, now we didn't expect this much of a drop off, and we don't think it'll stay.
Yeah.
But the idea that the Kings were again going to have the same offensive efficiency that they had last season, I think we should have been prepared for some type of drop off. I think we're just trying to figure out where the drop off,
how big of a drop off
is it going to be? Medusa from Six Flags,
shout out
Medusa, Vallejo. Shout out Vallejo, E40. Tell me when to go. Where is it going to be? That's what none of us know yet.
Yeah.
Which makes breaking down them offensively very difficult. They're shooting the basketball. They're getting open shots. They have the most open threes in the NBA right now. So there are reasons to feel good about the Kings, because that type of stuff is repeatable.
The underlying numbers are there.
You are going to continue to get open shots. Yep. You are going to continue to be able to find opportunities offensively. Mm-hmm. Will the ball go in the hoop? We don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's the scary part about trying to basically break down something that is so simple when we talk about basketball. Because what is it, Chris?
Shots. It's a make or miss league.
It's That's a make or it. Miss league.
It's so simple. Like, you know, sometimes we like to dress it up. Sometimes we like to talk 4 hours about this and that and this and that and this and that. But at the end of the day, it is the most basic analysis we can give is putting the ball in the basket is a good thing, and you're supposed to do that more than the other team on that given night. And the Kings just don't take, or I shouldn't say don't take, because like you said, they take
the most
open threes.
Yeah.
They just don't make them. And you just put it perfectly. Like, there's no way of figuring out at this moment in time where they're going to fall on that, you know, how close to last year they're going to be able to replicate, because all of the success that we were planning for this season was based on the Kings hitting a percentage or having an offense that was, you know, replicating last year would have been tough.
Just be top five.
Could you be close?
Just be top
five. Can you be top five? Can you still have that be your calling card? And I think the biggest problem the Kings have had without De'Aaron Fox is, what is their identity when De'Aaron Fox isn't out there? They clearly have no idea.
But
absolutely no idea.
But with that being said, I will say, if they play the same defense that we've seen them play at times, and the same defense they played a couple nights ago against the Blazers, offensively, the offense will generate enough opportunities to win this basketball game. Mm-hmm. But are you going to hit your shots tonight, or are you not?
And effort, too. Effort's going to be a big thing as well, because in that Golden State game, their shots weren't falling. You remember the final score of that game? It was 102-101.
Yeah.
Shots aren't falling, but you still play defense and you still believed for 48 minutes that you could make that into a game. We saw no effort, no heart in Houston at all. There was, we're down by 30, this game's over. And yeah, it might have been, but there was no fight from that team. And against the Blazers, you could argue you know, they had some scrappiness at the beginning of that game, but they did not have the heart to use whatever term you want to keep the foot on the throat or whatever you want to say.
Foot on the gas,
yeah,
whatever.
All that stuff wasn't there. And I think that's as well concerned. And that's, again, where I'll take a moral victory or a step in the right direction. If the Kings compete for 48 minutes tonight and they just don't have enough talent.
How did you finesse this back to a moral victory?
I'm just saying.
That was well done, though.
Thank you. I appreciate
but
it.
But I'm still
and
out.
I'm just saying, why is it wrong to feel okay? And I'm not even saying you have to feel great about it. I'm not saying it has to feel the same as winning the game. I just mean where the Kings are at right now, why can't steps in the right direction be good enough? And I understand.
My question is, when is it not good enough?
Probably pretty soon. I mean, yeah.
Because I'm looking here, right? I'm looking at the schedule here,
again,
okay?
Yeah. This and seems Chris like a very
one-game
specific.
Victory Monday.
This is a one-game specific
okay.
thing. That's more where I'm getting at.
Because I'm saying, is it just all moral victories are okay until De'Aaron comes back?
Yeah. No, I just think that you have to be moving in the right direction. I don't want to see, like, they clearly played better against the Blazers than they did against the Rockets. Now, did they play great? Did they play to their level of expectation? No, but they still played well enough to get the result, whether it be an overtime or not. I want to see you continue to progress in the right direction and not go further back towards the team that we just saw 2 games ago. They've had one non-terrible game. All I'm saying is I want to see them continue to progress in the positive direction and not go back in the direction that we were just in earlier this week, where we're wondering, is this all a farce? Is this ridiculous? Should we eliminate the beam? Is everything bad?
Hey, now, that wasn't me.
I don't know who.
That wasn't me. Don't get me started. We're 2 days removed from this. Got to get to a break. Yeah, and I think the biggest thing for me is I'm not on the moral victory train with you, but I will say the Kings could play better than they did against the Blazers and lose. Mm-hmm. That's how high I am on the Thunder. Yes. So because of that, it's a weird situation because, all right, well, they played better than they did a couple days ago, but they caught the L because the Thunder are 5-3. They're moving in the right direction. Got to get to a break. When we get back, more of your calls, more of your texts, more of your chat. Should the Kings continue to start Keon Ellis, or should they move in a different direction? That and much more. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Join us throughout the season to hear all the games and all the analysis on Sacktown Sports at SacktownSports.com.
Expect to see a mix of sun and clouds, light winds, and highs today peaking in the upper 60s. Expect overnight lows down to the lower 40s. Get the latest forecast on the KCRA 3 News and the KCRA 3 app.
The Arnold Law Firm has seen how a collision can turn anyone's life upside down in a heartbeat. So remember to be a little more alert on the road and stay safe. The Arnold Law Firm, providing real justice for you since 1975. Call 916-777-7777.
It's easy to think all money managers are pretty much the same, but at Fisher Investments, we're clearly different.
Different how? You sell high commission investment products, right?
No. Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission-based investment products.
Well, you must earn commissions on trades.
Nope. Never at Fisher. We're a fiduciary, obligated to act in our client's best interest. It's the highest standard of care for a financial advisor.
How do you know what's in their best interest?
We get to know our clients and then tailor a portfolio based on their goals and needs.
But you probably sneak in some hidden and layered fees.
No. We have one transparent management fee, structured so we do better when our clients do better.
Wow, you really do look out for your clients.
That's because our top priority is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement. It might be why most of our clients come from other money managers. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments. Clearly different money management.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
Sacktown Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Trying to convince Chris that the Kings, they got this tonight. Chris Watkins, Alan Stiles, taking you up to 2 p.m. on a Friday fun day. We're trying to make it fun.
Trying to.
Chris looking fresh.
Thank you.
In the Sharks sweater.
This is getting so old at this point.
Well, I'm just saying, the Sharks win two in a row, and now you, come on.
I literally know nothing about hockey. I don't even pretend to know anything about hockey. Uh-huh. I've tried to watch a couple hockey games. I feel
confused. I'll go with you.
I would love to go because
baby's
someone,
first game.
As like someone who's way too into sports,
yeah.
i.e. the job, like, mm-hmm. It's really an interesting experience to watch something like a sport and just be like, I have, you know, watching cricket or whatever, mm-hmm. or watching hockey and just be like, I have absolutely no idea what's going on, but I can just yell and scream,
yeah.
and, you know, be ignorant for a little
yeah,
bit.
It's right. Fun. No, we should go. Nate, you ever gone to a hockey game?
No, but I want to go.
Let's go.
I do want to go.
Really Nate, you
bad.
Never played hockey?
No, I
would have guessed. Yeah. You look like a
no
hockey
helmet
player.
Either. Yeah. Just wouldn't play. Yeah,
I used to be a lot skinnier too, scrawnier. I would have got crushed.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I do think the Sharks probably have the best jersey in the NHL. I
really
like
their
logo.
That's a bold statement.
Yeah.
How many jerseys picking? Do you know?
Four.
You know, a couple.
I like the old Ducks.
I was going to say, they brought the Ducks back. I don't know if that was a special.
Mighty Ducks, yeah.
Right,
the
Anaheim. I don't know if they brought it back forever, but yeah, they did bring it back. I like the Sharks. I do like the Sharks because they are unique colors. I do like the colors.
Yeah, the teal is great.
Really one of the only ones in, I won't say pro sports because I can't speak to all of them, but one of the more unique color schemes.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody who shares it.
You know?
I can't think. I mean, I'm thinking like Tulane or something, but that's obviously not a school. Or not a professional
organization. We're not counting that. And Tulane is green.
That's super interesting.
The green. Right. Well, they've kind of
they've
added in that weird
more
blue-ish.
Into this, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Sharks, I can't. Great. They're definitely top five, Nate. They're definitely top five.
Okay.
So I'll give you that.
So,
I'll give you that.
Not
even
that
though you
bold,
don't even
though.
Know not that five. In,
I got four, yeah.
Yeah, so.
The Flyers.
The Flyers are good.
The Blackhawks.
I don't like those colors.
The Vegas Knights is kind of cool. It's a little too,
it's too
little
new
too
for
new.
Me.
Yeah,
Chicago classic.
Fresh. Yeah.
Red Wings.
Yep. It's yeah, that's classic. Probably like.
It's kind of like a Celtics jersey.
Yeah, the Red Wings. What else is there?
Rangers.
The Rangers.
Are those are decent.
Right. The Coyotes is interesting.
Sure. The logo's
Tampa
interesting.
Bay. Dallas Stars. I was a big Mike Modano guy back in the day. Big Mike Modano guy. So. You know,
I can throw out a couple names. But
I played. I told you I played hockey. And then I had the hockey games on my PlayStation 2. So
NHL
I got
NHL 98. That's
NHL.
The last NHL game I had.
And
PS1.
I believe Mike Modano was on that game.
Sick.
So
yeah,
so
Paul
there you
Kariya.
Go.
You know, that's a name
yes,
I've heard.
That's
Yadimir Yager. You know, these are
you
names.
You got it. You got it.
I think that's about as far as I
can. All right. I think it was 2K1 because I would switch between NBA and
I think
NHL.
It was just 2K, they call it because they were like, yeah, we're going to start 2K.
Yeah.
And then it would be 2K02. Or, yeah. That was quite
great
a time.
Those were when those games were $20, too.
There you
that
go.
That was like the whole thing about 2K back in the day.
There you really? Go. Shout out San Jose Sharks. What is it? Two games is not, that's not a win streak yet.
Yeah,
three.
That's a win streak.
Two or three.
Yeah, it's a two-game win streak.
It's in Major League. If you win two, that's called a winning streak.
That counts. I'm counting it.
It's not a kill streak in Call of Duty until you
get
three. That's very true.
If we're going off that.
That's very true.
There you go. Patrick Donaldson trying to get Chris on the positive side of things on this Friday fun day.
Oh.
Patrick Donaldson, you always need to look at the loss column in the standings, and the Kings only have one more loss than the Warriors. There you go.
Yeah, I'm not a big believer in that, but yeah. People do say that all the time. I don't personally believe it, but yeah.
From the 209, Kings all day, all caps. Thunder
yes, sir.
Are weak.
Ooh.
Last text from the 209, Kings about to smash them.
Wow. I like the faith, though. Mm-hmm. I love it because, yeah, I mean, I definitely felt from just the vibe of, and again, you know, social media is, what is it, 8%, 20%, I don't know. It's a small percentage of what people actually feel, but it did feel like, and of course social media breeds doom and gloom, but it did feel like people weren't very excited about the Kings' prospects of winning this game.
No, and again, depending on the model that you're looking at, we've seen Kings as 2.5-point underdogs. We've seen Kings as 1.5-point underdogs. The point is, A lot of people don't think the Kings are going to get this one done, but they also don't think the Kings are going to get their doors blown off, right? So there is some respect there. I would say my question to you is, before we get into who should start again, my question to you is, every single day as you guess, hey, will this be the day that Keegan breaks out, right? It's almost like you go to a baseball game, I'm calling the home run right here, right? And eventually a home run happens. It's today the day. It kind of makes sense, right? There was so much put on Keegan with his brother, family in town, a little bit extra pressure there. This could be the game, okay, everybody's just chilling. Right. It is in season tournament. Everyone's just chilling. Sure. My brother's gone. He's on his way wherever the Blazers are going next. This could be the game where nobody's thinking about it as far as Keegan, and he breaks out.
Yeah, I mean, that is the thing that the Kings have working most in their favor is the they have nothing to lose.
Right.
And like they can there is a freedom in a weird way, there is a freedom of, well, everyone kind of expects us to play bad, so if we do, it's kind of not the end of the world, and all we can really do is impress people with our effort and how we play. So if Keegan kind of approaches it with a similar mentality of kind of like you're saying, like, I'm already struggling. Right. I've already missed multiple opportunities that seem obvious of a rebirthing of a game. Why not tonight? Why not tonight? Just go into it with no expectations. Don't worry about if you struggle. You've already been struggling, so it won't be anything new. All you can really do is impress people. I think that would go a long way because Keegan doesn't, just the way he carries himself from what we know of Keegan Murray, I wouldn't guess that he's somebody who deals with stress really well or with pressure or with, not necessarily pressure in terms of like big situations, but just a lot of expectation put before a game or anything like that. He feels like somebody who probably thinks a lot. And I, not that that's a bad thing even. I just think it's a human trait that some people have more than others. And it wouldn't surprise me if him relaxing and just playing his game. I think a big part of his struggles so far has been Mike Brown's asking him to do so many new things that it's just his mind is just racing the entire game. The second he touches the ball, he's not in a flow state. He's in a
offensively or defensively?
Offensively.
Okay. Because I was going to say, here's a question. We already talked about Davion, and we're going to get into who should start, right? Because maybe this question answers itself.
Sure.
Because then it becomes these guys and the length that the Thunder have is ridiculous here.
It's crazy. It's absurd.
Do you want to? Who do you put Keegan? If you want Keegan to really focus on offense tonight, who the heck do you put him on?
Josh Giddey. Put him on Josh Giddey.
Yeah.
Josh Giddey's. I mean, he's not blazing fast. His first step isn't anything crazy. He's not somebody who's going to be looking or hunting for a shot or anything like that. I think Giddey's a perfect person to put on him. Or you can put him on Jalen Williams. If you still want him to keep that defensive edge and that mindset, Jalen Williams is a medium risk guy.
Right,
you know,
yeah. Would you like mild, medium, or hot?
Exactly. And Shea is obviously the hot. If you want to be like, you know, they put him on Steph, put him on Shea. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a longer defensive or a longer rangier guy that you can throw Keegan out there, and it makes a little bit of sense. But I feel like Giddey is probably the safest option just because you don't really think of him giving you 25 on any night. Like, he might be able to give
on
you 16
accident.
Or 18
right.
or
right.
something like that. He might knock down a couple threes, but I would say you're probably not going to run around a ton with Josh Giddey.
Styles and Watkins, got to get to a break. When we get back, would you keep starting Keon Ellis? And more of your calls, text 916-339-1140. How confident are you in the Kings right now tonight and as a whole? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Larry Kruger joins us at 1 p.m. to talk some Niners and the San Francisco Gigantes on a Veterans Day on a Friday. Shout out to all the veterans. Thank you for your service.
Yes.
If it's a payday Friday for you,
ooh,
be wise.
Definitely.
But enjoy
yourself.
Yeah. Gotta enjoy yourself. 916, we love when you put your name on it. Those texts that we read last segment talking about the Kings going to smash the Thunder. 209 also said, if we go deep in the rotation, I like our chances. That is from Jamie. So shout out to Jamie, friend of the show. Thank you, Jamie, for your contributions. And hopefully you are correct. The question is the starting lineup. And Shai Gilgeous goes at a healthy 6'6". We were talking earlier about some measurables. Brock Purdy. We had Nate in here standing next to Chris trying to figure out who is what height. Chris Verlade was the one. Go ahead and measuring them because everybody looks the same to me at this point in time. So I'm not the person to ask. But Shai Gilgeous is tall. Shai Gilgeous is a long fellow in terms of the point guard position. And same with Josh Giddey.
Yeah.
And then you had Chet Holmgren. Just even bigger. It's like the AT&T bars.
Yeah.
Right?
That's looking like the Monstars.
Exactly. That's going on. That's what's going on for the Thunder. And the question is, would you keep Keon Ellis in the starting lineup because of that?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I imagine it's one that Mike Brown and his staff have been probably going over probably all the way up until now.
Right.
Like, it's really something that you need to fully think about all the pros and the cons. And, you know, as a side note, before we get into it, I think it just in general is going to be interesting to see if the in-season tournament-ness of this all plays any effect into how the Kings address just attitude and how they address the game. Like, is there going to be a different level of fight we haven't seen? And even if it is, do we attribute that to the in-season tournament, or is it just a coincidence?
Mm-hmm.
Last time the in-season tournament was played last Friday, since they didn't play any games on Tuesday, I think we had the note in the rundown earlier in the week that, like, the margin of victory on that night was under 6 points. I don't know if that's just a coincidence or it is actually a symptom of the fact that these games might truly have a little bit of an elevated feeling to them for whatever reason.
I think they do. Yeah. I think they do.
Yeah. And
for the players, I don't know about for the fans.
Yeah.
But I think the fans are going to ride the players' energy.
Exactly.
So once you can tell that the players are into it more, I think it does affect the fans. So I think going into it, and Sabonis, we had sound on Sabonis from a couple of weeks ago where he said, you know, being, you know, overseas, very much into soccer, it reminds him of that, and he was super into it. And I think a lot of the players were into it because the players, they need reasons to get up, right?
Yes,
I mean,
totally. You've
seen people say, I don't care about games until February. You're not supposed to say that, but they say it anyway on their podcast. I wasn't going to say the name, but, you know, they say things like that.
Here.
It was, right.
Because he directly mentioned the Kings. He directly was like, you know, in Sacramento, like, I might not get up for that game.
It just doesn't end. It just never ends, and it never will. But you have things like the in-season tournament to where it's an opportunity for some young guys to get up.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City Thunder, they're trying to win something.
For sure. Right.
Kings, they're trying to win something.
If you can't win an NBA title, like, this is at the moment, like, this is the second or third best thing,
now,
I guess.
Right now, put yourself on the radar. And, you know, I'm sure a little bit later, I don't think maybe on these initial contracts or if your contract was already written up, but I'm sure there will be incentives added to because it's all
MVP,
connected.
MVP, all tournament, first team,
it's
all stuff.
Connected.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
You know, as it goes, green is king, right? Green is always king. So, I think that is a good point, and I do think people are going to ride with the kind of the vibe of the in-season, and I would expect the crowd tonight. You talked about, you know, the first couple of games that I went to being Warriors and Lakers, where it's normally pretty split because that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
But something like this, I don't know how many Oklahoma City Thunder fans will be mobbing around the DoCo. I don't think so.
They'll be sprinkled.
Yes, I think that bodes well for the Kings, and I think it'll be a really, really cool experience on that home, on that cool new floor in their City Edition jersey. So I think that'll be all good.
Yes. But to answer your question,
yes,
I do think if I were to look at it, I think starting Keon makes the most sense. I still think that his length, we had the conversation about length and why it makes a lot of sense going against Shai with Keon over Davion makes a lot of sense. But I think that also just the fact that Keon's scoring isn't really needed in that lineup as well. Like, he needs to shoot the ball for sure just to continue to be a threat, but his defense is going to be his calling card with that lineup, and that could be really used with those guys. The only fear, of course, is you're sacrificing playmaking. Sabonis is really the only playmaker you have out there. It seemed to me when they did start the game with Keon, there was a get the rebound. Whoever gets the rebound brings it up kind of thing, where it didn't matter if it was Harrison or Herter or Keon initiating the offense, because you don't really have a true point guard. So that's really the only downfall. But I think, again, if they can form some sort of identity with that starting lineup, I think that would just go a long way. So I feel like Keon being in that starting lineup makes the most sense. You don't really touch the second unit. Mm-hmm. Davion played so well on Friday or the other day on Wednesday. You want him feeling comfortable. Apparently Malik is just untouchable in that six-man spot, so he's stuck there. I think it makes the most sense to just kind of bring Keon in. And it'll be interesting to see if Colby Jones gets minutes.
I was
today
literally
as well.
Just double checking. Yeah. This has been a height type show here because of the Thunder and what they bring. And also, we were talking about Brock Purdy and all that jazz. A little bit of more Niners talk in the 1 o'clock hour. Colby Jones, 6'6.
Yeah. You know, joke. Yeah. He's 6'6. He's a legit swing guard.
So I would not be, you know, defensively, is he Keon Ellis? No. And defensively, is he Davion? No, but he has the length that Davion doesn't have. So you ain't got to get ready if you stay ready. And I would not be surprised. And we know Colby Jones brings more offensively than Keon Ellis.
Yeah, for sure.
The way Mike Jones has been coaching this thing, looking for...
Who?
Mike Jones, right. Colby Jones, Mike Brown. The way he's been coaching this thing, what was it, 877? We'll get the number after. We'll come in with that next time, Nate. The way he's been coaching this thing... I wouldn't be surprised if it's a Colby Jones random game and he gets 20 minutes.
Yeah,
wouldn't be surprised.
JaVale
as well. Who knows? I know Alex Len played well.
Yeah,
but who knows these days?
Yeah, I would love to see the Kings go big tonight. I think this is definitely a team where we've talked a lot about their length and their height. I would love to see Alex Len, JaVale, and Sabon, not all at the same time, obviously, but I think that there's room for maybe if you want to steal some minutes with both of those guys out there, because it is a situation where, again, when you don't have De'Aaron, you kind of need to formulate some other identity or think outside the box. And I think leaning into OKC really only having one big, and that big being Chet Holmgren, if you want to describe him as a big, being 175 pounds soaking wet, maybe you say they have no answer for this. They have no answer for us just throwing JaVale, throwing Alex Len, throwing Sabonis out there. Maybe that's where the Kings can find an advantage. So, I think that there's tons of different opportunities for people tonight to be inserted and to make an impact. But frankly, I mean, I think the one guy who, if you're just going to look at it, who really doesn't fit in this game is Davion. And it's just merely because his size doesn't really warrant himself to do the thing he's great at, and that's defend. There's not really a guy that you can say, okay, let's put Davion on him, and you know it'll lend itself to results. Like if you put Davion on Shea, I just have a tough time seeing that really be super effective.
Right, and you brought up the Kings' identity without De'Aaron, and really what it is right now is we're either going to work through Sabonis or we're going to drive and kick and hopefully make a three.
Yep,
that's it. That's basically it.
If those don't work, we've seen there's nothing else. They ain't got anything else, because if the shots aren't going in and Sabonis ain't shooting, there's no offense to be produced.
And if Malik is in the PNR.
Yeah.
Right, the pick and roll, and that's what you got.
Yeah, and that's not going to give you more than like 108 points. You know, like you're not going to be putting up 130 if you know, you're just preying on shots going in. And you know, it's the situation the Kings are in
right now.
I don't know.
Right.
It doesn't feel good.
And that's why you better just show up defensively. If you show up defensively, you give yourself a chance.
Yeah.
And, you know, I saw Dwayne Baker in the YouTube chat, hey, put Keegan on Shea. I just don't think you can afford to.
Yeah.
I think it is more important to just hope that this is the game that Keegan goes off and Kevin Herter has really started to find his stroke and gets back into the swing of things as he did last game. I just don't think you can afford to put Keegan on Shea.
Yeah, I mean, funny enough, I think the Kings just kind of need to go back to last year's plan of forget about defense, just outscore your team.
Right,
just like you have to just kind of be an offensive juggernaut if you want to win, because, I don't think that the Kings' best defenders, maybe Kessler Edwards.
I was going to say, let's see Kessler.
Yeah, but even then, I think Shea is the one that makes the most sense to put Kessler on him. It's a really interesting team for them to go against, because frankly, this is the exact profile of a team that gave the Kings nightmares last year. They really struggled against teams like Orlando, the Lakers, and Minnesota, because They have all of these 6'6", 7-foot guys who have crazy wingspans, and the Kings really only have their 2'6"-8s. They really only have Harrison Barnes and Keegan Murray who match up well against guys who have that kind of profile. So it's kind of a combination of just a perfect storm of bad things for the Kings, not having De'Aaron, not even having Trey Lyles out there. Trey would be huge on a night like tonight because he's that 6'8", 6'9", versatile forward center who really matches up well with a team like this. So maybe we see Sasha. Sasha kind of has the same body type, doesn't nearly play the same as Trey. But, I mean, the Kings are kind of in a disadvantage in a lot of ways in this game. And I think that's where all of my doubt kind of starts to come from, is just when you look at it on paper and I try and visualize, okay, if you're Mike Brown, you put him on him, him on him. It just feels like the Kings are playing defense in this sense, and not in the sense of OKC is definitely the one who, when I think about this matchup, they're setting the tone. They're the ones that you have to find the answers for. I don't think the Kings are the aggressors in this situation.
And I don't think they're used to that. Yeah. But the good thing is the game is not played on paper.
It is not. No, it's not.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, Chris is making it sound like the Thunder are the Michael Jordan Bulls. We'll pull some stats.
Nope, they're just the Kings of last year.
We'll see where they stack up. Sals and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Before I came up in the game, nobody showed me love. They see me in the club and used to treat me like a scrub. They wouldn't holler cause my dollars weren't swollen up. I bet they changed their mind.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Just letting that ride a little bit.
That's a risky move.
Well, I'm just waiting for the remix of that or somebody to flip it. And now a kid is going to say that's the original.
The thing is, kids don't know about this.
They don't know.
They don't know about this Mike Jones.
Whatever happened. Actually, how did Mike Jones escape our one-hit wonder segment?
Would you say this is his one? I was like, I feel like he had a bigger one-hit than this. Mike Jones had like a couple songs because it was a thing to just.
I dropping the ball here?
I don't think you're dropping the ball. I don't think you're far off. It's not like Mike Jones was like a staple, but he had a couple. He had a couple.
Did he?
We'll play some in the break because obviously, you know, it's not the. We got to find clean versions of
not
Mike
as bad
Jones.
As the Baja Man.
No. I mean, they legitimately had one song.
Yeah.
So
Mike Jones might have been like a one-year wonder.
Yeah.
If that's like, you know, I don't think he
like
had
Fetty Wap.
Yes.
Summer 2016.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because Fetty Wap had two songs. Fetty Wap did.
He had a couple. No, he had more like, than he that. Had like, and he was on some features.
That's the
Your
thing.
Yeah Baby was really good just
yeah,
now.
Yeah Baby.
Yeah, that's how, that was. I don't think you got enough credit for that. I just want to make sure.
You know, a lot of driving around that time, and I was just slapping Fetty Wap, so. There you go. As we get ready to hope that the Kings are saying, yeah, baby, after they beat.
All right. Okay.
That's what they're hoping for.
Nate, I know you're not getting on me for
that's what they're gonna
for
do
doing when, too much with the joke.
Listen, I'm not the host.
No. I know you're not getting on me. Sals and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m.
Can't wait.
And it is time to preview the Thunder. And, you know, Chris, we've been trying to get Chris, hey, man, got a shot tonight. King's got a shot tonight. And Chris is not really excited about going to the game tonight. He's worried. He's worried about
Concerned.
Going. I said, Chris, we're going to be there. It's a Friday night. It's an in-season tournament. It's going to be a good time. We've been trying. And thank you to the callers and texters who have been moving us in the right direction. And I think we're starting to get Chris on the right side of things. So we have some stats because Chris is making it sound like the Thunder are just world beaters, right? So the Thunder right now, they're 8th in Bleacher Report's power rankings, 7th in offensive rating, and 11th in defensive rating. So they're good.
They're good. Yeah.
They're good.
Those are good numbers. Yes, I would not say really.
Yes,
good.
They are good.
Yeah, they're performing well, for sure. And those are, You know, and that's another – the balance also is a thing the Kings need to worry about. Like, it's not like this team is like the Kings of last year where they're great on offense, mm-hmm. but, you know, they're so bad on defense, they're going to give you a chance to be in this game. Mm-hmm. They can play either style. If the right. Kings want to muck this thing up, if they want to limit possessions – Thunder are a really good defensive team, and that could be a recipe for the Kings only scoring 80 points or yeah. something like we saw in Houston. Or if the Kings want to run it up and say, yeah, let our shooters shoot and let's try and play the Kings basketball of last year, OKC's got weapons too that they can go head-to-head with. I'm not going to ever say toe-to-toe with ever again after what happened that one time. So, yeah, they can definitely they've got a good balance in OKC, and that's, again, another thing that's just – it's a really, really scary matchup to go in against.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk about the defense for OKC, 11th in defensive rating, and the length that they have. I wonder how that bothers shooters
right. I'm sure
at the same time. You know, yeah. it's not the same as a normal-sized guard
yeah.
trying to get in your
There's
airspace.
There's a big difference between yeah. Steph Curry closing out and Shai Gilgeous or Josh Giddey closing out.
Right, yeah. so the – Kings are going to have to deal with that. You have some even deeper stats from our guy,
yes.
Will Z. Stats.
Shout out Will Z, mm-hmm. Who's doing great previews before every single Kings game. You can also check out some previews. I believe Frankie's doing previews before every game on Sacktown Sports, but you can check Will Z's out as well. Will points out that the Oklahoma City Thunder are second right now in the NBA, just behind the Dallas Mavericks for three-point percentage. OKC's knocking down threes at a 39% clip, which if Kevin Herter's shooting 39%, like that's elite for a player.
Yes.
So if an entire team is shooting 40%, they're knocking it down. So the Kings cannot afford to give them open looks. However, saying that with the open looks, Oklahoma City is fifth in the NBA in wide open 3-point attempts. We were talking about the Kings wide open threes. I believe the Kings are either first or second in that number. OKC is fifth. So they also do a great job of getting open looks, but not only that, their fewest attempts in the league with tightly contested threes. So right. not only are they getting the most or the fifth most open looks, they very rarely are getting contested threes. So a lot of their looks are really decent looks, which is probably leading itself to shooting 40%. Hmm. Some of the higher shooters or the higher percentage shooters on their team, Chet Holmgren, concerning. 55% of his threes he's knocked down this year. I don't know how many he's taking. I assume it's three or so a game.
He's shooting 55%
from 55.6% from three so far this season. And what that tells me is Sabonis is going to have to come out on him.
Yep.
You can't allow him to just stand out there and live with the result of, oh, it's okay, it's still a big man hitting a three. If Chet's knocking down 55.6% of his threes on three attempts per game, you're going to have to step out there and not allow him to hit those, because once he does, again, that's how you open up. Okay, now he pumps and drives past you, and you know, we just can't have that. That also pulls Sabonis out of the paint as well. So the Kings have to be better at perimeter defense. They cannot allow people to be, you know, they can't be turnstiles on the defensive end like they've been all year long, where it's just, oh, let's hope that Sabonis can get a vertical contest or JaVale McGee's back there to block the rim. If Chet's hitting threes and they have to be pulled out, the Kings have nobody in the paint to protect the paint as well. So it could really leak out. Lu Dort's also averaging 52%. And the number I do want to point out, just to be positive about the Kings, this is their advantage. And Will writes this: there's an obvious advantage for the Kings in this one, and they'll hope to use it to get the win and exploit it. The Thunder are not a good rebounding team. They average 41.8 boards per game, 25th in the NBA. 7.5 offensive rebounds for OKC. That's last in the NBA. And they allow the sixth most total rebounds and the first most offensive rebounds at 14.4 per game. The Kings, mind you, got 15 offensive rebounds against the Blazers. How weird would it be if the Kings could win this game using their biggest weakness from last year? If offensive rebounds ends up winning this game for the Kings, I'll take it. I'll take it.
It's been a weird year.
It's been a weird year, and that would be the strangest thing. But again, I think that points to, like I mentioned earlier, maybe the Kings should just try and go complete counter and just go as big as possible and throw out as many big men and try and use that advantage on the glass as much as they can, getting second chance opportunities, getting, you know, defense, or ending possessions is the biggest part of defense. You can defend for 24 seconds and not get the defensive rebound. All of it was for nothing. So if they can really take advantage of the glass and use it to their advantage in a major way, that to me seems like the best route for success for tonight.
Got to defend, got to rebound, got to try to exploit the Thunder where they can. That is what the Kings need to do. And again, when you do get jump shots, you might want to try making them.
Just
that would help too.
Just a couple.
That would help too. Got to get to a break. When we get back, Larry Krueger joins us to talk Niners and Giants. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.